Okay, good morning. Tuesday morning, October 13th, Chem 30A, and we're doing activity 12 this morning. Activity 12 is balancing chemical equations. So that's what we're here to do. And let's see, I've already got a screen share going. So activity 12, as I said, is on the Canvas shell. I checked it last night, made sure that it was up and live and downloadable, and made sure that I could download it. So you can go into the Canvas shell, and it's in module, what are we in, module 5 or 6? Let's go see. We'll go to the Canvas shell real quick. And we'll go to modules. We'll check on module 5. And there it is, lab activity 12, balancing chemical equations. I put a little preamble thing in front of it, and the download should function there to be able to get us to activity 12. This is not a big activity. It's not a huge time commitment in terms of balancing chemical equations. Learning to balance chemical equations well is important, but yes, right now there is only this lab, lab 12. I have not done 13 and 14. I haven't activated them yet. So you can see that they're not published yet and there's no content in there. I'll get those done maybe this afternoon. I'll get those up and in there so that we'll have those for Thursday's lab. But yeah, right now those aren't published yet. But like I said, this activity itself is not that long an activity. So we'll do a couple of these labs or a couple of examples of balancing chemical equations, and I'll show you a process for balancing chemical equations. That's the idea. So let's go ahead and start with looking at why chemical equations need to be balanced. So in chemistry, we have a concept that is the conservation of matter. And the conservation of matter says that in a closed system, matter cannot be created or destroyed. And we consider a chemical reaction a type of closed system in which everything needs to be conserved. Energy is conserved, heat is conserved, matter is conserved within a closed system like this. And that means that when we look at a chemical equation, and we have A plus B going to make C plus D. We consider this a closed system in which each side of the equation must have the same amount of material on it. Not the same amounts of A and B and C and D, but when you add all the mass up, the mass needs to be balanced on both sides. And while we're here and we're talking about chemical equations, maybe we should also sort of diagram out a chemical equation and look at the language that we use to talk about chemical equations. A plus B goes to make C plus D. What we have is reactants and products. And the arrow is spoken as goes to form. Around the arrow, we can have certain symbols and other chemicals over and above the arrow to do different things. So when we look at an arrow, a reaction arrow, sometimes we can have reagents. And conditions. So the conditions can be temp and time, or special conditions such as heat or light or sound that are required in order to make that chemical reaction work. Sometimes we have things that are called catalysts, where a catalyst is something that participates in the chemical reaction, or we should say, makes the chemical reaction speed up, go faster, but actually doesn't participate. It doesn't show up in the reaction, in the reactants or the products. So, so we can have catalysts that go in there. So there's lots of different things that we use, and we use some symbols. Things like heat, we use a capital delta. Light, we use lambda nu, the symbol for light. For sound, sometimes you can see a symbol that is increasing arcs that we would think of as like a wave form. And so we can use that symbol for sound. So there's lots of different things that go into a chemical equation as we look at it. And then the chemical equations also, when we look at them, have what we call coefficients. A plus B goes to form C plus D, where the smaller lowercase letters here, these are called coefficients. They are whole numbers that we place in front of a chemical symbol that tells you how many of that chemical are required in order to balance the chemical equation. So coefficients are whole numbers used to balance the equation. And I use the term mass balance because that's really what we're doing, is we're balancing the equation for mass, much in the way that I initially described at the top here with a balance, using a balance symbol in order to do that. Ooh, Maggie joined us. Welcome, Maggie. Okay, so when we balance a chemical equation, one of the first places that I like to start is with something intuitive. So let's do that. Let's start with an intuitive example of how we balance a chemical equation. One of my favorite ways to start is to just start it with a bicycle that has a frame and tires. And if we want to balance this chemical equation, what we're making are bicycles. And intuitively, the process is pretty simple. When we go to balance the chemical equation, we know that in the product, there are two tires for every one frame. Although tires come in singles and frames come in singles. And right now, as drawn, this chemical equation is out of balance. If I think about it in a mass balance sort of way, there appears to be more mass on the right-hand side of this equation than there is on the left. So right now, the balance is out of whack. And it's my job as a chemist to put that balance or to balance the equation such that the mass balance is correct. And so the way that we do that is we add coefficients in order to balance the equation. And so here, this isn't very difficult. We can intuitively just sort of do this off the top of our head. If we copy this and we put it down here, the way that we add the coefficients is we simply put a 2 coefficient in front of the number of tires. And now if I keep track, if I look at how many frames and tires I have on each side, I have one frame. And I initially had one tire, but what I have done with my coefficient is I've changed it into 2. And if I look on the product side, I have one frame and I had 2 tires to start with. And frames were always in balance, tires were not, but now they are, that I have placed that coefficient in place. And now I have mass balance. And I have an equal amount of mass on the left as I have on the right. Now I did it by counting objects. So I never weighed anything, but what I assumed was that each tire weighed exactly the same and that the frame weighs exactly the same. And so if I have the same number of frames on the left and the right, and I have the same number of tires on the left and the right, then I have the same amount of mass on the left and the right. So I balance by counting the objects, but those objects, because they weigh the same on both sides, I literally am balancing mass. So that's the way that I handle the chemical equation. And what we'll do is we'll come up with a series of steps for balancing chemical equations. And we'll show that for every equation that we do within Chem 30A, you can balance every equation in four steps or less. And there's a system to it. It's not just random that I start trying to balance in different places. And the more complicated the equation is, the more you want to rely on the system, because the easier it makes the process. So let's take a look at an actual chemical reaction and see how we might balance that chemical reaction. All right, so one of the first things that I think I want to balance, methane plus oxygen goes to form CO2 and H2O. This is a type of reaction called a combustion. And this is the combustion of methane of natural gas. And whenever we do a combustion, we always produce similar products. We always produce carbon dioxide, CO2, and water, H2O. So we take whatever it is that we're burning that contains carbon and hydrogen, and our products are always the same, CO2 and H2O. And we require oxygen in order to do combustion, in order to burn something. Oxygen is a requirement. If we take a look at this equation, it currently is not in balance. So what I'm going to look at is I'm going to make a list of each of the elements, carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen. And on the right-hand side, on the product side, I will make the same list, carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen in the same order. And we simply go through and we count all of the elements on each side of the equation. And we just enumerate them. So we look at how many carbons there are. There's only one carbon. We look at how many hydrogens there are. There are four, so we have to take the subscript, multiply it by the atom. So there are four hydrogens. And the subscript two indicates that there are two oxygens. Now over here on the right-hand side, we need to be a little bit more careful with the oxygens. Carbon is easy, there's only one. Hydrogen, also easy, there are two. Now oxygen we need to be careful with because it appears in two places. And so we need to add them up. Two plus one is a total of three oxygens. And what we can see is that certain things are out of balance. The hydrogen has 4 to 2, so that's out of balance. And oxygen has 2 to 3, that's out of balance as well. And we'll need to balance each one of those. Where to start? Where do we start a balancing equation? Well, what I like to do is, like reading a sentence, I like to start left to right. And I like to go down the line at each element and balance the first element that we come to that is out of balance, as long as it doesn't appear in more than three places within the chemical equation. And so we look at hydrogen. Hydrogen was out of balance. It appears in only two places. This is a perfect place to be able to start balancing, is with hydrogen. So we'll start here. This will be the first element that I attempt to balance. And in doing that, I need to add hydrogens to the right-hand side. So I need more hydrogens on the right in order to get the same number as I have on the left. I'll do that by only placing a coefficient in front. And that coefficient, I'm going to use a single underline so that when you go back and look at the notes, you can tell what I did first, second, third, and fourth. Welcome, Daisy. As Daisy's getting her mic connected, welcome, Daisy. Good morning. So I'm underlining the first coefficient that I'm placing there with a single underline. The second coefficient, I'm going to underline twice. Third coefficient, I'll underline three times. That way, when you go back and you look at a static image, you'll be able to tell how the balancing was achieved, what was done first, second, third, fourth, and so on. The rules are that I may only change the coefficients. I may not change a subscript, because changing a subscript changes the actual chemical formula, and then you're not making the same materials anymore. So no changing subscripts, you may only add coefficients. So we place this 2 here in front of the H2O, but now that 2 applies to both the subscripts of the hydrogen and the oxygen and its multiplication. So I'm multiplying 2 times 2, which is 4. So this now changes to a 4, but it also changes my oxygen count. And when I change my oxygen count, I now need to go back and I need to recount the entire side. It is 2 plus an additional 2 times 1, which is 2. So 2 plus 2 is 4. And the total number of oxygens that I now have on the right-hand side is 4. The hydrogens, if we check each thing that is balanced, carbon is balanced, hydrogen is balanced, oxygen still needs to be balanced. So oxygen has 2 to 4. What we'll do is we'll now balance oxygen by coming over here to the left-hand side, and we'll place a coefficient in front of this species, which will give me a total of 4 oxygens. That's the second thing that I'm changing. And I've selected a 2 because 2 times 2 is 4. And now when I do my recount, I have 1 and 1, 4 and 4, 4 and 4. This was the second thing that I changed. And we now have balance. The equation now has exactly the same amount of atoms, carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen on the left as it has on the right. And so the balanced chemical equation, if we get rid of sort of all of the markings that we've put on it, is CH4 plus 2O2 goes to make 1 CO2 plus 2 H2O. And that is our balanced chemical equation. Okay, so how did that example go? Seem pretty straightforward? Let's give it a process. Let's enumerate this process, or just define the process in which we're going through the steps. The first thing that we do is we make an atom count. For both reactants and products. Keep the list in the same order. That's really important, because otherwise balancing starts to become difficult. Number 2, we start left to right. Balancing any element which does not appear, which is out of balance and does not appear in the equation more than 3 times. Critical and does not appear more than 3 times. That's really important, because when you have an element that appears in a chemical equation many times, multiple times, 3 or 4 times, then changing it changes a lot of things. It's hard to know which of the places to choose to balance at because it appears in too many places. So we skip those. And in skipping those, they generally resolve themselves. So anything that appears three or more times generally resolves itself. Okay, number three, you may only change coefficients. Number four, save diatomics for last. What is a diatomic? Diatomics are things like O2, N2, H2, Cl2. These are things that, and this list goes on, so I don't want to mean that this is an inclusive list because there are others that are diatomic as well. Diatomic elements are extremely useful for balancing because when you change them, they change only that element and they throw nothing else out of whack. By saving them for last, it allows you to balance everything else and to come back and change just one element that is left that is out of whack by placing a coefficient in front of the diatomic. So in that way, when we hit a diatomic, we always save the diatomic for last. And that just aids in our balancing. There's one more rule that goes in here that I almost hesitate to put in just yet. Usually I like to show an example before we put it in here. Let's just put it in and then we'll show an example of it. You may use a fractional coefficient I'm going to move my steps up here just a little bit to make a little more room on the bottom. To balance odd numbers of diatomics, but only for diatomics. You may use a fractional coefficient to help balance diatomics, but you must clear that fraction at the end. And we'll show this is sort of an optional rule here. So these are all of our rules for balancing chemical equations. And that last step is just a trick to help us be able to balance a chemical equation in four steps. And with that little trick, we can balance almost any chemical equation in four steps within Chem 30A. There are some more complicated as you get into Chem 1A and Chem 1B, some more complicated types of balancing equations and a couple of other tools that can be used to help balance chemical equations. But this is pretty much all we need in order to be able to do the things that we're going to do. So let me try a slightly more complicated balancing problem. And let's do another combustion. Combustion ones are easy to come up with and show much of the complexity that we need to be able to do. So let's look at a combustion that is of C2H6. This is ethane with O2. Going to form again the same products, CO2 plus H2O. Okay, so in our progression, what we're going to do is we're going to again list out the carbon, the hydrogen, and the oxygen, and we'll make the same list on the right-hand side and the left-hand side. There are two carbons to start, six hydrogens, two oxygens, and on the right-hand side, one carbon, two hydrogens, and three oxygens. So as I go through and start to balance this one, I'll again start from the left to the right, and I'll look at carbon. Carbon here only appears in two places. This is a perfect place to start our balancing. And we'll start by placing a two coefficient in front of the CO2, the carbon dioxide. That gives me two carbons on the right-hand side, but it also multiplies by the subscript of the oxygen. And so I get 2 times 2, which is 4, but I also have to add in that oxygen, which gives me 5. So I have a total now of 5 oxygens on the right-hand side. The next element that I will go through and balance, hydrogen, only appears in two places, a perfect candidate to balance as well. I need to get 6 hydrogens, so the coefficient that I will choose will be a 3. That multiplies by the 2, but also by the oxygen. So 3 times 2 is 6. I have balanced my carbon and I've balanced my hydrogen, but I need to be careful of counting the oxygen, and I need to recount all the way from the start again. Every time you have an element that appears in multiple places, you cannot only count what you change, you must count from the beginning in order to get the number correct, or at least it's the easiest way to get the number correct. 2 times 2 is 4, plus another 3 is 7. So I have a total of 7 oxygens now. All right, I have balanced carbon. I have balanced hydrogen. I now need to balance oxygen. Oxygen is tricky in this balancing. They come in units of 2, and I require 7. So how do I get 7 when they come in units of 2? I've saved the diatomic for last. I have done all the steps. So I made my count. I started from left to right. I only balanced those things that appeared in less than 3 places. I changed only the coefficients. I saved my diatomic for last. I'm on to rule 5. You may use a fractional coefficient to help balance diatomics, but you must clear the fraction at the end. Okay, so what does that mean? Let's look at how I can get a coefficient x times 2 that equals 7. How can I solve this equation? Well, one of the things that I can do is I can divide both sides by 2. And in dividing both sides by 2, I discover that x equals 7/2, a fractional coefficient, if you will. If I take and multiply 7/2 by the O2, what winds up happening is and this is the third thing that I'm changing, the subscript here, the denominator, 2 in the 7/2, multiplied by the 2, cancel each other, giving me a total number of 7. And so basically what I do is anytime I have a diatomic that comes in 2s and I need an odd number of them, I take that number and put it in the numerator and put it over 2, and I can get that odd number. Now, the hard part about this is that coefficients can't really be fractional. We can only have, just like a tire, there's no way to get a fraction of a tire. There's no way to get a fraction of an O2. They come in 2s. And so I need to clear the fraction. That's what this little piece right here says. You must clear the fraction at the end. So how do I clear the fraction? The way to clear the fraction, and let's be clear that the chemical equation does balance now. The last step, and what I'll do is I'll change colors, is to multiply the entire equation by the subscript. Multiply the entire equation, by the denominator. Multiply the entire equation by the denominator such that it clears the fraction. So now this 2 is going to multiply by each of the coefficients. And I will keep track of those numbers. Down here at the bottom, such that my new coefficients are going to be 2 times C2H6 plus 7O2 goes to form 2 times 2 is 4, 4 CO2 plus 2 times 3 is 6, 6H2O. And now the chemical equation is balanced and has no fractional coefficients in it. So basically what I did is I balanced that equation using the fractional coefficient, and then I used a multiplier times the entire equation in order to rid myself of that denominator in the fraction. And I wind up coming up with a balanced equation. And if I take it and I count it, just to check, just one more check, carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen, we'll see that because what I did was to the entire equation and the equation was balanced before I took that step, the equation will still be balanced as long as I did all my math correctly. So I have 4 carbons, 2 times 2, 2 times 6, 12 hydrogens, 7 times 2, 14 oxygens. Now on the right side, I will take the 4 carbon, so 4 carbons. To count the oxygens, it would be 4 times 2 is 8, plus an additional 6, that's 14 oxygens. And the counting of my hydrogens, 6 times 2 is 12. So I have 12 hydrogens, 4 and 4, 12 and 12, 14 and 14. And we were able to balance that equation. If we consider this our fourth step, we were able to balance this equation in 4 steps to arrive at our final answer. Every equation that you do within Chem 30A should be able to be balanced within 4 steps. If you're taking more than 4 steps, it generally means that you've made a mistake someplace. Okay, so if more than 4 steps, how do we resolve this? If we find it's taking more than 4 steps, stop and recount. Look for errors. Second thing, check the problem from the source. Go back and look at, if you're online, look at the computer. If you're on paper, look at the source problem again and make sure the problem has been copied correctly. Those are the two biggest sources of errors that I find that happens. And you can also sort of do that recount in the middle of the problem. Recount in the middle of the problem with your existing coefficients and make sure that you've counted correctly or multiplied correctly. Make sure that you are accounting for all of the atoms that may be in common across the reactants and products. For instance, the oxygen. For elements that appear in more than one place, make sure you're counting those accurately. So those are the steps to take if you find that a problem is taking you more than 4 steps. Okay. Any questions so far? You guys doing okay? Just checking in and seeing how we're doing. All right. Let's Let's take a more complicated balancing equation and see how we do. Let's do a double displacement type of equation. So let's do ferric nitrate plus, let's choose sodium carbonate, going to form ferric carbonate and sodium nitrate. And I'll put some symbols in here that we've seen before. These are aqueous, solid, and aqueous. So this is a double displacement type of problem. And there are a couple of ways to attack the double displacement types of equations. Oh, Daisy, that's a good question. Within Chem 30A, you shouldn't. Okay, so the question is, Daisy's asking, I said that most can be completed in 4 steps. And how do we know when it's one that takes more than 4 steps so that you don't think that you're making a mistake? And the answer to that is, I don't think within Chem 30A you will hit any that will take you more than 4 steps. What I would say is maybe get to 6 steps. And if you get to 6 steps and you really haven't balanced it and things are just getting worse, that's a time to stop and start recounting and start looking again. But just about everything that that Krista's gonna throw at you can be balanced in 4. And I can't imagine Krista giving you something that's gonna take more than 4 steps. It's just the types of problems that we do within Chem 30A generally don't take more than 4, unless it's an accident. Okay, so let's look at this one. This one is more complicated because we have polyatomics and we have parentheses. I'm gonna show you 2 ways to balance this type of chemical equation. One that is a little bit more complicated and one that simplifies it, makes it a little bit more simple. Let's just do this with all the rules that we've so far been given. We have iron, we have nitrogen, oxygen, sodium, and carbon. So those are all the elements. And we're going to make our list both on the reactant side and the product side. And I'm going to keep my list in the same order. I'll copy and cheat there so that I've got them. So let's go down the line and let's figure out how many of each element we've got. Iron, there's only one. Sodium or nitrogen yet. Nitrogen, it looks like there's one, but we have to be careful of the subscript that's on the outside here. This 3 tells me that there are 3 times everything which is inside. So that 3 multiplies by the oxygen 3 and also by the nitrogen. So there are actually 3 nitrogens, and I need to be careful that I have counted that correctly. Now oxygen, as I just said, I need to multiply this 3 by that 3. So the subscript 3 on the outside of the parentheses by the subscript 3 inside the parentheses. So that's 9. Plus I need to catch these 3 here. So there's an additional 3, that's 12. So there's a total of 12 oxygens. For sodium, it is the subscript 2 times the sodium. For carbon, it is not this 3 out here only multiplies by the oxygen. It does not multiply by the carbon unless there are parentheses there. No parentheses, so there is only 1 carbon that I need to worry about. We go and continue our counting. 2 for the iron. We need to be careful of the parentheses and the subscript again. 3 times carbon this time. So there are three carbons. For oxygen, 3 times 3 is 9, plus an additional 3 is 12. And for sodium, there is 1. And for nitrogen, there, this 3 again is only multiplying by the oxygen. That subscript is not outside parentheses. So that means that the 3 does not apply to the nitrogen. The nitrogen is only a single, only 1. So everything here seems to be out of whack. And except for oxygen. Oxygen's actually balanced, but we're not going to worry about what's balanced and what's not. We're going to take and we're going to start using coefficients. And the first thing that we can balance with a coefficient is we find that the iron here is out of whack. It appears in only 2 places, and it is easy enough to balance with a 2 coefficient on the left-hand side. That's the first thing that I'm changing. And that 2 multiplies by the iron. It also multiplies by the 3 and then multiplies by what is inside. So I need to be careful that when I count these other elements, that I am multiplying what is inside the parentheses and outside. So let's take a look at how we do that. I've got too many X's and too many things going on here. 2 times 3 is 6. Times 1, so I'm taking the 1, which is the subscript for the nitrogen, and I'm multiplying 2 times 3 times 1. 2 times 3 times 1 for nitrogen is going to be 6. So there are 6 total nitrogens. And oxygen, I need to be doubly careful because it is 2 times 3, which is 6, times 3, which is 18, plus 3, which is 21. Don't forget these 3 over here. This now is 21 oxygens. So a little bit tricky in the counting. All right, iron is in balance. And as I look at this, the next thing that I can balance is I can go down the line and I could say nitrogen. Nitrogen appears in only 2 places. Seems like a perfectly reasonable thing to go ahead and balance. It fits within my rules. So I look at that and I figure out, well, what coefficient do I need in front of this grouping over here in order to get nitrogen at 6? I need a 6 coefficient. And that 6 coefficient multiplies by sodium, nitrogen, and oxygen. So I'll be changing all 3 of those elements, and I need to do a recount on all 3 of those. That gives me 6 nitrogens, sodiums, and 6 nitrogens. But oxygen, I need to be careful of the way I count it. It is 6 times 3, which is 18, plus 3 times 3, plus 9. So I have 18 plus an additional 9. 18 plus 9 is 27. We can see how complicated this is getting all of a sudden. And there's concern that, are we doing this correctly? Numbers are getting very big very quickly, and yet we are making progress. So the iron is balanced and the nitrogen is balanced. Oxygen is next, but look at how many places oxygen appears. 1, 2, 3, 4. Don't change anything or try to balance anything that appears in more than 3 places. Skip oxygen. Let it resolve itself. If we balance everything else, oxygen should resolve itself without us having to do any additional work. So let's move to sodium next. After we skip oxygen, the next in line is sodium. We need 6 sodiums on the left to match our 6 sodiums on the right. So I need a coefficient to place in front of here that when multiplied by the 2 will be 6. That's going to be a 3 coefficient. That is my third change. 3 times 2 is 6, but that changes everything else in this as well. I will now get 3 carbons, and it's going to change my oxygen again, and I'm going to get 3 times 3, which is 9, plus all the oxygens that come from this side. So I will get 3 times 3, which is 9, plus I will get 2 times 3 times 3. So here's my little oxygen count. So this is 9 plus 3 times 3 is 9 times 2 is 18. And that's going to come out to 27. So I'm at 27 oxygens. And look at what happened. When we went and we balanced the sodium, the carbon also balanced itself and the oxygen balanced itself and everything worked out. And we didn't have to do any additional work. We just had to have a little bit of faith. And notice that it took only 3 steps. Numbers got big, numbers got complicated, but it only took 3 steps to be able to balance the equation. Let me take this problem. Let me copy it. And let's show an alternative way to balance this equation. So this is going to be an alternative for double displacement. Double displacement is a certain pattern of chemical reactions where we have polyatomics that frequently show up within them, but they always follow this pattern: A, B, plus C, D, go to form A, D, plus C, B. And the polyatomics never break up. The polyatomics always stay grouped together. If I take that pattern and I look at how that pattern is working and I get rid of all this other stuff that's going on in here, and I color code these such that I look at A, there's my A, B, B is the nitrate. C is sodium. And D, let's choose something green for D. So here's D. D is carbonate. And how they've switched partners. So I need to also hit B and C. Okay, there's a lot of color in that, but what we can see is that the pattern is matching. A and B and C and D are going to form A and D, color matched, C and B, color matched, and these polyatomics never break up. The polyatomics stay grouped together. Because the polyatomics are staying grouped together, I can group them in my atom count. So when I go through and I list these, I can list them as iron, nitrate, sodium, and carbonate. So I'm listing them out as they appear and keeping them grouped together. Now when I do my count and I go through and I count how many of each species I have, my counting is now simplified. I have 1 iron, 3 nitrates, 2 sodiums, 1 carbonate, On the right-hand side, I have two irons. I have one nitrate, one sodium, and three carbonates. Now, it is only the subscripts that are outside parentheses that I really need to keep track of, and the subscript here for the singles, like sodium and iron. Now my numbers are simplified. And when I go through and I start to balance, the way that I start to balance this is I balance it with a 2 coefficient in front of my iron. That gives me 2 irons. And I don't need to track oxygen separate from nitrogen. It is just 2 times 3, which is 6 nitrates. And so I get 6 nitrates. Continuing on, I can then go and I can balance the 6 nitrates. So I get 6 over here. Now, notice what I'm doing. I'm doing something that's called, I put it in there as a phrase called chase the change. So what I did is I multiplied 2 times the iron and 2 times the nitrate. Nitrate got thrown out of whack. So when nitrate got thrown out of whack, I chased the change. I go and I balance nitrate right away. So once I start balancing someplace and I throw something else out of whack, go and balance that thing that you threw out of whack. That's what we mean by, or I mean by chase the change. And so now when I placed the 6 to give me 6 nitrates, it also gave me 6 sodiums. Sodium got thrown out of whack. Go fix sodium, chase the change. I now come over here and I put a 3 coefficient in front of sodium. That gives me 6 sodiums and it gives me 3 carbonates. And the whole thing just resolved itself with small, easy, manageable numbers. And we never got as complicated as 27 oxygens. We had a much easier counting time because we grouped everything for the double displacement. Looks easier, doesn't it? It's an easier process to be able to do. You may only keep them grouped like that if the reaction is a double displacement. Okay, which leads me then to a second important concept is understanding the different types of chemical reactions that we have so that we recognize different types and we can recognize double displacements when we see them. So some common chemical reaction patterns or reaction types. In the reaction types, we've shown 2 reaction types in this video so far. We've shown combustion. Combustion problems usually look like CXHY plus O2 goes to form CO2 plus H2O. And so we have different ratios of carbon and hydrogen, but they always react with oxygen to form CO2 and H2O. So you can recognize a combustion just by looking at the products itself. When you see these 3 things, a combustion is generally recognized by this part of the equation. And you can write combustion equations yourself by taking the different ratios of carbon and hydrogen that you're given and always reacting them with oxygen to produce CO2 and H2O. And I think my highlighter is just a little bit bigger than I want for highlighting. Let's see if that just helps to make it a little bit more readable so that it's not too crazy in the highlighter. Okay, second type that we've looked at is double displacement. These are also, these have alternative names, precipitation, or sometimes called double replacement. They're referred to by all 3 names. In these equations, in this equation type we just went through, we have AB plus CD goes to form AD plus, in this case, AD plus CB. There we go. And so these are switching partners and oftentimes include polyatomics. The other types that we have are combination reactions usually look like A plus B goes to make a single product C. So we're combining two reactants to make a product. Decomposition is the reverse. So in decomposition, what we have is we have A that goes to form B plus C, one thing going to form two or more things. And I think that that's important too, is that these equations, when we look at combination and decomposition, it can be A plus B plus C plus D goes to form one thing, can be a combination. A decomposition, A goes to form B plus C plus D, you can get two or more things that come out here in terms of the decomposition. And then we have one more that we call single replacement. Single replacement look like A plus BC goes to make B plus, or let's do it this way. Let's do it AC plus B. Basically, what's happening in single replacement is one of the elements is being replaced. And knocking that element out such that A takes the place of B and B gets knocked out as a single. So we have these five different types that are very common types: combustion, double displacement, combination, decomposition, single replacement. And recognizing them, particularly recognizing the double displacement, such that we can use the special sort of counting rules to be able to manage balancing that type of chemical equation. The other four, you may not do that because the other four do not have polyatomics that stay together all the time. The other four, the polyatomics, if they're included in them, break up and are always rearranged. It's only when the polyatomics stay the same, such as double displacement, that we can count as a group the polyatomic. So I want to be sure that we're being clear why we were able to do this type of balancing and making that balancing a little bit more simple. Okay. Are you guys ready to try a couple on your own? So I'll give you a couple now to do. We'll go and we'll grab that worksheet and let's take a look at the worksheet and maybe do a couple off the worksheet. Let me bring this in. So here's the worksheet itself. They have the rules here. So the rules are listed. And they also give the diatomic rule and that you hold off on diatomics. And they also give you what's really nice here, Hofbrinkel. Hofbrinkel is a way of recognizing which elements are diatomic. We haven't spent any time talking about that. And that diatomic rule, maybe we should just a second before we go any further. Diatomic elements. How do I recognize a diatomic? There are two ways of memorizing which elements are diatomic. There are two, I can't remember what they're called, pneumatic ways of arranging the elements in a word so that you can remember the word to remember which elements are diatomic. Hofbrinkel. Let's do it this way. Hofbrinkel is a very common, except I lost the F. And that's the eraser. Hofbrinkel or Brinkelhoff. These are two ways of remembering that it is hydrogen, oxygen, fluorine, bromine, iodine, nitrogen, and chlorine, which are the diatomic elements. I remember them more by their location in the periodic table, hydrogen on the upper left, and then it is in the second row, nitrogen, oxygen, fluorine, chlorine, and bromine, that in the periodic table, they exist in the periodic table in this way. And so it helps me to remember that it kind of makes this L starting at nitrogen, oxygen, fluorine, chlorine, bromine, and at the bottom, iodine. And then hydrogen is also diatomic and it's set off to the left-hand side of the periodic table. So I remember my diatomic elements that way, but multiple ways. In any case, diatomics we save for last. We don't balance them until the very last thing because we can get odd numbers of them using fractional coefficient, not throw anything else off, and we can just balance that one element, but we always must clear the fraction. Okay, notice that the first one here just happens to be the one that we already did with methane, but here's a decomposition type of problem. And maybe it's a good thing to keep track here just for a second. This is a combustion, so that we're practicing multiple things. This is a decomposition. And we want to balance that decomposition equation. So let's take that decomposition equation. Let's give you guys just a minute to try it and see how you do balancing it. Now you're not going to have room on the worksheet here in order to do all of your work. So I recommend balancing these on a separate sheet of paper and not trying to do it in your head, but taking the long way to do these. Trying to do it in your head is a recipe for disaster. It leads to counting errors, it leads to mistakes, and it leads to frustration as you're trying to balance them. So spend the time, sit down, write it out on paper. And in fact, that's my general rule for all of chemistry. If you're trying to do anything in chemistry in your head, you are making a very poor mistake. Chemists communicate by writing. Chemists use a language and a problem-solving method that is entirely written. And we work on paper and we think on paper or we think on a blackboard or whiteboard. That's the way that we do almost everything. So never try to do these in your head. Always sit down and write them out. Let's take this decomposition. You guys are working on it. I'm gonna write it down and create a new page down here. And we'll write that decomposition one down on that page. So it's sodium bicarbonate is going to start sodium carbonate, CO2, and water. Sodium bicarbonate, when heated, so we use the symbol for heat, undergoes a decomposition reaction where it is making, what did we say it was? Sodium carbonate, CO2, and water. Okay, I'm going to give you guys another minute here to give this a shot. Let's check our atom count. Sodium, hydrogen, carbon, and oxygen. This is not a double displacement, so we can't keep the things grouped together. We'll notice that Carbonate, while it looks like carbonate stays together, it also produces CO2. And so I can't keep carbonate grouped together at the same time that I'm forming CO2. I need to do these all individually. So this will be a little bit more challenging. There is one sodium on the right, one hydrogen, one carbon, and three oxygen. On the left-hand side, there is two sodiums, hydrogens, I've got two. Carbons, I'll have to keep track. There is one and one, so there's two carbons. And oxygen is the toughest. Three plus two is five, plus one is six. Okay. And I didn't make my list over again, and I typically don't. What I typically do is I just list my elements once, and then I keep track on the left and right-hand sides of the arrow. But I will concede that it looks cleaner if I have two complete lists, as long as they're in the same order and we don't turn anything around. We're all good. Okay, following the rules, sodium left and right only appears in one place, and I need to get two of those sodiums. So we'll start by placing a two coefficient in front of the sodium to balance sodium. But that throws everything else out of whack. And here we might need to be careful. Let's see what happens. We might need to do a little bit of additional work here because it may not balance, but we'll see. Two times hydrogen, two times carbon, and two times three. Two times three is six. And we had the wrong number here to start with. It was not six oxygens. It was originally only three oxygens. So I had made a mistake in my counting already. But once I put the two there, two times three is six. And now we find two, 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 and six. And that's all it took. So as complicated as this problem looked, this problem was not really all that complicated. It only took the one coefficient. As long as we were counting accurately and making sure that we don't make errors, as I did, this problem actually turned out to be fairly simple. Okay. Let's maybe take another one from this set. The next one, you know what? I'm going to give you one that's similar to this, rather than giving you this exact one. This is another, if we look at it, you guys want to hazard a guess what type of problem this is? C? Want to list out what type of equation C is? Notice the oxygen, the O2, going to form carbon dioxide and H2O. And maybe what I should go do is amend my problem types up here to also include oxygen. That oxygen can be included in the thing that we can combust. There are other combustions too that include sulfur and nitrogen, but they always have the O2 to CO2 and H2O component. And that's what really defines a combustion. And so this is a combustion problem as well. All right, let me give you a combustion that is similar but a little different than this one. So that was methanol in that combustion. Let's give this an ethanol combustion. Ethanol is C2H6O. Ethanol is the alcohol that we drink, the alcohol that you find in beer and wine and other alcoholic beverages. That's ethanol. We will combine it with oxygen and we will form CO2 and H2O. So this is the combustion reaction that I would like you to balance, and we will list out carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen, and the same on the right-hand side. Go ahead and do your count. So I've done my count fairly quickly. Do your count and let's compare and let's see how we're doing. Daisy's coming back in. Daisy, everything look okay now? Kimberly, Maggie, you guys are all able to see the screen and everything is updating appropriately? Okay, cool. Just making sure. All right. So for this combustion one, we've done our count, and now we want to start doing our balance. Carbon only appears in two places. Perfect place to start. Go ahead and take and throw a two coefficient. That's our first thing that we're changing. That changes my carbon, but it also changes my oxygen. And now remember, it is 4 plus 1, total of 5 in terms of the oxygen. Hydrogen would be my next to balance. So I'll balance my hydrogen with a 3 in order to get the 6 hydrogens. That also changes my oxygen count. So it is 3 plus 4, total of 7. And now I need to come back and I need to balance the oxygen over here. And I'm saving my diatomic and I'll be doing my balancing here at the diatomic, not here where the single is, because I've already balanced this. I've already balanced carbon and hydrogen. I don't want to mess with those. So my place to do my balancing is at the diatomic, but I need to be careful how I balance this. Because what I need is I need 7 oxygens total, but I get 1 oxygen out of this left-hand side. So I need to take, and this needs to account for the remaining oxygens, but these need to add up to 7. So if I take 7, subtract 1, that's 6. This needs to account for 6. So this one here plus this one here need to equal 7. And I'm getting 1 out of there. So the question then is, if I'm getting 1 out of there, how many do I need to get out of the O2? And the answer is that 7 subtract 1 equals 6. So that's how many oxygens I'm trying to get out of this O2. So what coefficient needs to go in front of that O2 in order to get the 6? It's just a 3. That's my third change. And as I recount, it is 3 times 2 plus 1, or 7. And now that balances as well. So again, when I get the problem done, it's nice to take and get away from all the work and to write the problem out cleanly so that we can see the answer. I was going to try to do these coefficients in different colors, but I guess this is okay too. 2CO2 plus 3H2O. And so we've got that worked out and shown how to solve it. Okay. Let me see if there's any more complicated types of balancing equations. There really aren't. These are pretty simple to go through and do. And we've shown the different types of problems now. Here's another combustion. The one that is here reacting with the carbon to produce iron and carbon monoxide, this is really a single replacement type of problem, but it's a little bit, I'm going to put a star onto it because it's a little different than the single replacements that I showed you the pattern of. another combustion. This reaction is a single replacement. Decomposition. This one is a single replacement. And we do have a lab where we ask you to try to figure out the different types. This one we're not. So I was just using this as an opportunity to give you some different reaction types so that you saw a large number of examples of them. Kimberly, do we have to label them? No, you do not. So that is something that I should add to my notes, that when we have the different types of chemical equations, we oftentimes also list the state of matter, the state of the reagent. AQ means aqueous, dissolved in water. S means solid. L for liquid. And G for gas. And no, you don't need to include those. In fact, Kimberly, you really couldn't, because you don't know for these chemical reactions that we're using, unless they give you the state of the matter, there's no real easy way to tell whether it's supposed to be solid, liquid, or gas. For instance, water can be solid, liquid, or gas, depending upon what temperature the reaction is being done at. And so we don't know if we're getting a solid water, a liquid water, or gaseous water in terms of the product. And so they really need to give you the states of matter if that's a component. We only asked you to give aqueous and solid when it was a double displacement reaction and using solubility rules. And we did that once, and we're going to get to more complicated solubility rules later in the course, but we're not there yet. So no, right now you can ignore anything that is aqueous, liquid, solid, or gas, and you don't need to worry about keeping track of that. So that's a great question. Okay. The one other thing that they do have in these, in terms of these balancing chemical equations, in part two, they have you write balanced chemical equations for each of the following reactions, and they give them to you by name. And so let's take one of these by name. Let's do B, for example, and show how we might attack B. B is potassium plus water goes to form potassium hydroxide and hydrogen. Potassium plus water goes to form potassium hydroxide plus hydrogen. Here, we need to be careful when we're working from words to understand what those words mean. Potassium is the element potassium, K, which is a metal and exists as a single symbol, potassium. Water is the word or the name that we give to the molecule that is H2O. Potassium hydroxide is a combination of the potassium ion and the hydroxide anion, and they need to be balanced in a ratio that this is an ionic compound. And we need to balance that ionic compound in their ratios. This is a molecule, a covalent molecule. And we just need to know the ratios for. And hydrogen, so potassium hydroxide, I needed to finish out here, it is 1 minus to 1 positive. And so we write it out as KOH. Hydrogen is a diatomic. And it goes back to that Hofbräunkel idea that we need to memorize which elements are diatomic. So this one here is the critical one that needs to be memorized. And we need to remember that that two needs to be there. And so those diatomics, remember, are, I like to use Hofbräunkel, except I keep remembering, forgetting the F. And that's the way that I remember that. And so hydrogen needs to be in there as our diatomic. So we've shown how we've rebuilt this equation. Now that we've built the equation needs to be balanced. So number one, build the equation from the names. Careful with ionic compounds. To balance for charge. Careful of diatomics. Okay, then after we build the formula, the next thing that we do is we balance. So you always have to build the formula first and then go through and balance the equation. So let's take this after we built it and let's balance it really quickly. So we have potassium, hydrogen, and oxygen. There is one potassium, two hydrogens, one oxygen, one potassium, one oxygen, and three hydrogens. Save diatomics for last. And potassium is balanced, so I'll skip it. Hydrogen is not balanced, but it's in three places, and I want to save the diatomics for last, ignore it. Oxygen is balanced, so I don't want to mess. No, wait, what did I do? Oh, notice what I did. I wrote them out of order. Hydrogen had three, oxygen had one. So it is the hydrogen that is out of balance. The hydrogen is the thing that is out of whack. And so we are down to balancing the hydrogen, but where we want to balance it is we want to balance it here. And this is a great little skill. This can save you a lot of time and effort. Hydrogen is out of whack. Hydrogen appears in three places, and we want to do our balancing at the diatomic. Now, notice that there are more hydrogens on the right-hand side than there are on the left. There's only two on the left, and there are three on the right. And I want to balance by putting a coefficient here, but I want to go down the number of hydrogens, not up, right? Because I've got one too many over here. Well, what happens if I use that fractional idea and I think about how many I want to get? So by using the fractional idea, I want an odd number of hydrogens, or I'm dealing with odd hydrogens. I can take and put the two subscript in the denominator. Now I use that because I want these two numbers to be the same so that the denominator cancels. And then I want the number in the numerator of how many hydrogens I want. So notice that I want two hydrogens. I get one from here. So I would like this to only account for one. 1/2. One hydrogen here plus 1/2 of 2 is 1. 1 + 1 is 2. I have decreased my number of hydrogens and I'm balanced, but I must clear the fraction. So this took me one step. It cost me one step, but now what I will do is take the entire equation and multiply it by 2 the same number as the denominator. So notice that the two here, and the two out here, that they are all the same number. And this two will multiply by each species all the way through to preserve the balance. And so the finished equation becomes 2 potassium plus 2 waters goes to form 2 potassium hydroxides plus 1 H2O or H2. And I don't even need to put a 1 because that's redundant. And that is my balanced final equation. And it took me, really, if I count the if I count this step as being a second step, then it literally took me 2 steps to balance the equation by using that little trick and showing that I can actually reduce the number of hydrogens when I get to a diatomic. That fractional idea in front of a diatomic is a very powerful balancing idea. If we think about what it would have taken me to do this otherwise, I would have had to bounce around and do a little bit of guessing work in order to try to figure out that each one of these coefficients needed to be a 2. That could have been challenging in trying to balance that in any other way, and could have led to a lot of experimentation of bouncing back and forth. Yeah, the dogs are barking. I apologize. They were being fairly loud there, but they've quieted down again. Okay. I think I've shown you every skill that you need to do in order to be able to go through and do this worksheet. How about questions? Did you guys have any other questions other than what you've already thrown out at me here in the chat? It's hard to ask if I've given you enough skills to be able to go through and do the entire worksheet. I've shown you the skill that you need in order to be able to deal with each problem type. The only problem type that I maybe haven't is this problem type right here, where you've got the combustion. Remember that a combustion is always CX, HY, O sometimes is included in there, so we'll put OZ. And this is always combining with oxygen and forming the same products, CO2 plus H2O. So you're taking whatever it is you want to combust, and you are always throwing in the rest of this equation at CO2 plus H2O. And then you go through and balance. And so the combustion is actually pretty simple to finish out. Okay? I think I've given you everything you guys need. I'd say let's go give it a shot. And I'll get this video recording up, posted, and everything is already set up for you in Canvas Shell to be able to download the worksheet, and the submit button is there. And so we're all good to go. Oh, and a note on grading. Yes, I was traveling and I got a little behind in my grading in terms of the Canvas Shell. I'll go through today. Today is a big day for me for getting and catching up on all of the grades for the Chem 30A. And so look for everything to be updated this afternoon and all those grades input. So we should be good from there. Okay, and I apologize if you were looking for things and they got submitted late in those first two assignments. I didn't go back and regrade all of the late submissions or anything that may have been submitted on time but needed to be corrected because it didn't upload properly. Some of those things have sat for a little bit. So my apologies, but we'll get them all straightened out today and we should be good to go. Okay, I think that's it. I'm going to call it good here. I'll stay on the line if there's any questions, but I'm going to end the recording. You guys have a great day, and we'll see you. What is today? Tuesday. So we'll see you on Thursday.